Hello and meow. Welcome to the Pussy Parlor Podcast.
I am your host, Kitty Valore. I am a pole dancing princess, sexy movement instructor, striptease showgirl, and all-round bad bitch. Here at the parlor, I interview new guests each week, including pole dancers, showgirls, sex workers, and cabaret creatures of all kinds. I am passionate about capturing the stories of the talented, colorful, and creative people that I meet as a dancer. Our parlor guest for today is Felicity Logan, a pole dance artist who is passionate about flexibility and mindset. Felicity has traveled all over the world teaching pole dance and has an online platform called Align, which hosts flexibility videos along with other dance tutorials. We discuss stripping, dancing in Australia, spirituality, and much more. Let's welcome Felicity to the show. Welcome to the Pussy Parlor. I'm really excited to speak to you today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So I just wanted to start at the beginning. How did you get into pole dance?
Well, I firstly saw pole dancing on a movie. Have you seen Dancing at the Blue Iguana?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a really old film, and it's one of the main stars is Daryl Hannah. So I was watching it with my sister, actually, when I was 17 years old. That was the first time I ever saw someone dancing on a pole. And when I saw Daryl Hannah do the iguana, I was like, oh my God, I have to do that. Like, I just thought the whole concept of strip clubs and, you know, beautiful girls dancing, I just fell in love with the whole thing. I was like, that is what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I don't have any confidence and I'm young and I feel stupid, but I'm going to somehow figure it out and do it.
It's always that magical moment when you first see pole dance and it's just like, oh my God, I need to be able to do this. How do I do this? Are we allowed to do this?
Yeah, well, that's what it was like. I was like, how do I start? Where do I go? Like, how do I sign up?
What did you do after that then? Did you look for a class?
So the very next day I went online and I just Googled pole dancing classes. And really weirdly, there was a studio, like a 2-minute walk from my house. And it was actually the first studio in Scotland. So it was a real coincidence. It was definitely fate that it was just there on my doorstep, pretty much. So I went for a class there. Wasn't really the best experience because there was about 10 of us sharing one pole. The teacher wasn't very supportive. She wasn't very friendly. She was a stripper. But she was a bit kind of like standoffish with us for some reason. And I wasn't learning enough in the class, although I did love it. And I just wanted to be on the pole the whole time. I didn't want to share it. So I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to buy a pole and just teach myself. I was also really nervous in front of other people at that time. And I felt really silly and stupid. And when I was like trying to do tricks, I kept slipping. So I was like, I think I'll just save myself the embarrassment, buy a pole and just teach myself. And then when I'm good, I can show people what I can do.
Oh, wow. So you trained yourself from quite early on in your journey with pole.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I spent like every single day training.
And when did you get into stripping? How did that come about?
Well, I went actually to a club when I was 17, and obviously I was underage, but I thought I just won't say anything. And I went there and I didn't get the job because they wanted me to do a lap dance for the boss as a trial, and I had no idea how to do a lap dance. So yeah, I just must have looked completely weird. And yeah, they told me that I needed to work on that part. So they say, work, you know, like find your sexuality and then come back. So then I was like, oh, you know what? I think I'm maybe like not experienced enough just yet. So I went back when I was 18, not to that club, but to another one, and I got the job.
And was this in Scotland?
That was in Scotland, but my first job was in Newcastle. That was where I started because I thought it's a little bit risky doing it in Scotland. A family member might pass by.
What was your experience like then when you started getting into stripping? You got, you know, started getting into your sensuality, your sexuality and dancing?
Well, at the beginning, obviously, I was really shy and I felt really self-conscious at the beginning. But then I started to gain confidence as the job went on, as I did it. And I started to get tips from the other dancers. I was kind of modeling all of them, trying to, like, I chose the best parts of them and tried to mimic it. So yeah, I did build up my confidence. And then it was quite weird. I had confidence in the club. And obviously the more money I made as well, the more confident I became because I thought, wow, people want to see me dance. But then outside the club, I was like still that little mouse that didn't know what to say and, you know, not really sure of myself. So it was quite strange. It became like another world.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that as well. I think when you're in that nightlife environment and you've got your heels on and you've got your outfit on and you probably got another name and you just feel like a completely different person, it takes you out of your everyday self.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually really interesting.
Yeah, you feel like it's an alter ego and parts of yourself that you couldn't really express normally, you're able to almost like exaggerate and be super, super hyper feminine.
Yeah, it's like your best self. It's like you're confident and you feel sexy and you can talk to people, you can have conversations with people, you can go up and speak to strangers and not feel silly. Like it's incredible to feel like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's like your aspirational self.
Yeah, that's why it's such a hard thing to get out of as well, because you're kind of apprehensive to go back into the real world where you're not that powerful exotic dancer anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, stripping has changed quite a lot. Do you know what year that you started?
Oh wow, I don't actually remember what year it was now. I'm not very good at math. Well, I was 18 when I started and I'm 33 now, so it was a pretty long time ago.
Yeah, because I know in the noughties, like early noughties and 90s, stripping was really, in the UK, it was a lot more lucrative, I think. And I know that you've worked at the White Horse as well, I think. And at where there was like more about the stage shows and dancers really made an effort to do cool stuff. Whereas I found like as I think I was stripping in 2014, no one wanted to be on stage and it just wasn't celebrated anymore. And it was more about the VIPs and private dancers and stuff like that. So I don't know what your experience like was stripping or if it varied from club to club.
Yeah, I think like it did vary from club to club. I found the bigger clubs in London, for example, were a bit more sort of depressing. People didn't put much energy in the stage shows because they just wanted to make money. And it was so cutthroat, like it was so difficult to make money because they put on so many girls that it was quite bad energy in the big clubs, I found. Like it wasn't really that enjoyable. I found the smaller clubs to be more friendly and there was less competition. So everyone was a bit happier, I found. And yeah, again, like the White Horse, I think out of everywhere I've worked in the White Horse, the girls, some of them were amazing on stage and they really put an effort in with their stage shows, most of them.
Yeah, I think it was quite a unique place. I definitely agree about the bigger clubs because I remember working in Spearmint Rhino in London and it was just so many girls that you had to compete with and some of them were just so ruthless and cutthroat and competitive and it was really hard. Like it was so different from the smaller club vibe.
Yeah, I actually worked in there when I was like really early on, so I just started in Newcastle and then I took a trip to London on the train and decided to just go and work in there, so I was still really new to it all. And, oh, I just could not make any money. Honestly, it was, like, awful. But I stuck at it and it kind of trained me. Like, I worked there for a while and it trains me how to make money anywhere. Because if you can make money in there with like 100 girls, it's quite easy everywhere else. So it was kind of like my training to be in there. But yeah, some nights were really unenjoyable.
Yeah, I think it's a different kind of hustle, isn't it? And what I really liked about the strip pubs, which for those that don't know, well, I think it's just in London, but I think there used to be more back in the day, but strip pubs are basically like pubs, but with like a stage in the corner and a lot less girls on. And the shifts were really short as well, weren't they? So they were like the lunch shift, which was from 12 to 4, and then there was a middle shift, which was only 3.5 hours. And then there was a night shift, and I think it finished at 12 or 1. So it was an early finish as well. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly short dances. So I liked it because you get to dance quite a lot and you didn't have to talk as much.
Yeah.
I was happier with that.
I actually, like, I worked at the White Horse for a long time, and the reason was because of the times of it all. I was able to get sort of a decent night's sleep. You know, the other clubs, they finished at sometimes 4 or 5 in the morning. So in that way, I could still train, like I could do training during the day before I went to work. So it really fitted well for all the competitions and everything that I was doing. The other clubs, you just end up staying till late, drinking lots, because it's such a long shift. You just get so tired, your feet start to hurt, so you just have more champagne.
Yes, I could definitely relate to that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any memories or stories of White Horse, you know, and working there?
Oh, I probably have like a million. Because I worked there for probably, I think it was more than 7 years, actually. I think it was 19 when I started, but it was on and off. So it was like my little pit stop. I used to go there, work for a few months, and then in the winter I used to escape and go somewhere hot and dance in another country, and then come back again, save up, enjoy the summer, and then I was away again. So I was kind of coming in and out, and I had a really good relationship with a lot of the girls there. It was a really fun place to work. I'm trying to think of some stories that I have.
Or like any of the other dances that you can remember as well, like what they were like and their personalities.
There was Cheeky. She's a really colourful person. She's like, her stage shows were really interesting. She did like a different theme every time she went on stage. I remember her like giving, I think she did like Little Red Riding Hood or something. She was giving out lollipops to the old men at the front of the stage. And she used to squirt people with water as well. Her shows were definitely the most memorable. But like every girl had something to offer. Like even the ones that weren't, you know, that great on the pole, they still had like a really good stage presence or just a really nice way of doing something on the stage. Like I was always inspired by all of them.
Yeah. I just think that venue had something about it that people made more of an effort. And I remember when I started working there, I was really excited because I thought I was going to get to meet you, but I don't think you were working there. And I remember you and Millie had both worked there, and I was really excited being like, oh, this is the place where, like, you know, people who do amazing pole dancing work. So I was really honored to be in that place.
Well, that's really cute. I think I'd already left. Like, I think I was in Australia or something, and I think that you'd arrived.
I think you went to Australia. And I do remember, it was like in Shoreditch somewhere. I think with some of the other dancers, we went to like this cafe or something during the day. And I think I met you then. That was the first time, but I can't really remember.
Oh, yeah. It was Pret a Manger.
Good old Pret a Manger.
Yeah, it was just opposite.
Yeah, that was it. That was so long ago now.
The time's going fast.
Tell me a little bit about your time in Australia and what it was like working and dancing there.
Australia was the best. Yeah, it was probably my favourite place that I've ever danced. Really good money, really nice people. I was training at Bobby's studio as well, and Bobby's pole studio, and eventually started to work there as well as a teacher. So there's just a huge community there of pole dancers. So I always had lots of friends and lots of people to share my passion with. It was really motivating as well, because a lot of the people that I was friends with were really, you know, advanced in their skills. So I always felt like it's good to be around them to enhance my own dancing. So yeah, it was amazing.
Did you find there was a big difference between the pole dance culture in the UK compared to Australia?
Yeah, I mean, Australia's more about showgirls. So it's a lot of heels and sparkles and small costumes, G-strings. And in the UK, I mean, like the sexy style is quite big, isn't it, at the moment, I guess. But there was a time when it wasn't really celebrated that much. I think now, because there's more competitions like Dance Filthy, more sexy competitions, it's bigger. But definitely in Australia, it's like the mecca of sexy dancing. So there's a lot more of that there.
Yeah, the impression I get is that when you go to a class in Australia to do pole, it's more of a default to just start off in heels, whereas that might not be the case here as much. You'd probably start off like doing a beginner class, just doing normal sort of pole without heels or sexiness.
Yeah, no, there it's like a requirement. Well, I'm talking about bobbies mostly, but I think most of them are like that as well. Like the beginner start off with like 8-inch heels. So it's definitely heels, and it's all spinny pole as well. Spinny pole's like big there. They in bobbies actually, they don't even have static poles.
Oh wow, yeah. I had a student who came from Australia and she was really confused why the poles were not spinning. She's like, my pole is stuck. I was like, no, it's on static. She was really confused because she's obviously been used to spinning all the time.
And they're really thin. They're just 35. So they're so thin. They're really easy to do strength stuff on, like deadlifts and things like that, because they're so small, but not so much leg hangs.
I definitely think the slimmer pole is quite nice though.
Definitely, yeah, I got used to that, and then I had to do a competition in Europe. I can't even remember which one it was, and I lost my grip completely. I had like a couple of days to just be back on the thick chrome poles.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing once you've gone to a smaller pole.
Yeah, and it was their brass as well, so different material altogether.
Do you have a favourite competition or performance that you've done?
Favourite competition was my Golden Goddess routine that I did for Pole Theatre Sydney. I won overall winner with that one. And I was just in a really good headspace because I'd just completed my yoga teacher training. So I'd been meditating every day straight for 6 months. It was a 6 month course. I was doing it on the weekends. But as part of the course, you had to do your meditation homework. So my mind was very clear. I didn't have any stage anxiety. I was really in the moment. Like I felt in the zone for like the first time ever. Like I just felt really connected. So, and also I really liked the song and my concept as well. So that was my favorite show, definitely. Most enjoyable.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I think it makes a difference when you're in a good headspace, especially for competitions, because it's such a nerve-wracking, emotionally draining thing, isn't it, competing?
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage your nerves?
Well, like, I think, as you know, like, I'm really interested in working with my mind as well as my body. So I believe that you can't just train the physical body. I feel like you have to do work meditating, you know, I do yoga almost every day. Trying to relax my mind and balance it is an important thing for me, not just only to, as I said, use my physical body, because, you know, when you're tired and you have a lot of things going on in your life, which everyone does, your training will become limited, you know, because you won't feel like doing it. So I constantly work on my mind.
Yeah, I think that leads us really nicely onto a question about your relationship with your spiritual self or spirituality in general, because you talk about the universe and your mindset quite a lot. How did that come about and how do you like infuse that into your teaching?
Well, I've always been really spiritual, like even before I even knew what it was all about. Like when I'm really, really young, sometimes I just chill out in my room and light lots of candles and incense and listen to meditation music that I found. You know, like I was always really into books as well about dreams, and I was into witchcraft at one point. I used to do spells and rituals with my friends. Like I just always was interested in things that are a bit supernatural. And yeah, like I bought so many books, which most of them, which I didn't understand at that time because I was very young. Some of which I've read again as an adult and like understand them now. But yeah, I've always thought that there's like something else. And, you know, I believe in the power of the mind. I believe in manifestation. And yeah, I'm kind of developed that as I got older. And I find it really helpful for when there's challenges and things that come into your life that are you can't really control. I find it like I go back to my spirituality and it just makes everything so much better. And yeah, I do kind of infuse that most recently as well in my classes. So as you know, because you've been doing some of my classes, haven't you?
I have, yes.
In the introductions, I have like a little bit of, I do a little bit of motivational talking, most of which is quite spiritual. I just like to get my students into like the correct headspace before they start their training. Because I think, as I said, like the mind and the body work together. So I think that's a really important part of the training.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really important part that people miss as well. And for people that don't know, Felicity has an online platform called Align, which is like stretching videos to help with your flexibility in all different areas of your body. And also there's like pole videos and other tutorials on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my baby.
How did that come about, like setting that up online? Because you do that with your partner. Was that something that you had to prepare for a long time?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I was actually always asking you about things.
Yeah, I do remember.
I kept like messaging you out of the blue, like, can you tell me more about your online classes? Like, what platform do you use? And how do you do this? And how do you do your videos? How do you edit your videos? It was like a seed that was, you know, I'd planted in my head for a long time, actually before even the lockdown happened. I'd always wanted to be able to make an income from something online so that it would give me flexibility to live wherever I wanted, because as like I'm a traveler, so I like to like move around a lot. And also with a family as well, like once I had Orlando, it was really important to me to find work that I could do from home. So I started off with Skype private. I was teaching girls online flexibility. And that became really time consuming. I didn't really have enough time. Plus, I just had a new baby. So I felt a bit guilty to keep leaving him and doing the private. So then I moved to the Zoom when the lockdown happened. I think everyone moved to Zoom, didn't they? So I started to do the Zoom classes. And then I had this idea to do like subscription-based website. I know you have your Patreon. It was kind of like I got inspired by you and by some other people that had similar ideas. I thought it'd be really cool to have like unlimited classes so people could just dip into them rather than having to always show up at a certain time. I thought like it's good to give them the chance to do their training whenever they feel like it. Like a lot of my students have kids or have a demanding job, so they, you know, it's good to fit the classes in whenever they can. And yeah, Align was born. And Jairo, who's been studying videography, he's an important part of the business. He makes the really aesthetically pleasing videos. And yeah, we actually started in Scotland doing it in my mum's spare bedroom, which we turned into a little studio. It was very nice of her to let us use that space, but we both got a little bit bored of seeing the same place all the time in the videos. We thought, you know what, let's move to a hot country and do lots of filming outside. So we're now in Gran Canaria and we're doing lots of location shooting out at the beach and in the mountains and different places. So we're kind of making it a bit more interesting, mainly for ourselves. So we can like get a bit of sun while we work.
Yeah, I think all the videos look amazing. I really like the ones with the ocean in the background, maybe because I'm Pisces, and I just like felt really calm and connected to that. And yeah, I think it's also kind of, as humans, I think we need to see and be in nature, don't we? Like,
yeah,
greenery and light is a really important color to us as humans. And I think that's really nice from your own home while you're stretching, but also feel like you're getting a little bit of that outside nature at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. We want to make them as, especially for the stretching ones, like we want to make them as relaxing as possible for people. Because that's another thing I really feel strongly about, is that you need to be able to relax into positions. If you're tense and you're holding tension in the body, you can't, your body's not going to let go and you're not going to progress. So we try to make them as relaxing as possible with the nice backgrounds and the relaxing music.
Yeah, no, it definitely works. Yeah, they're amazing. Everyone should go and check out your videos.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. You mentioned about your son as well, Orlando.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about how that changed your training when you became a mother, and also through your pregnancy, you kind of documented it through Instagram so we could see your progress as you were, you know, on your journey. And
yeah,
that was really amazing to see you doing these crazy tricks up the pole, and you were like very heavily pregnant and still able to like boss out these amazing Aishas. I mean, how was that for you? Like, how did that kind of change the way that you pole?
Well, when I got, one of the like reasons why I didn't get pregnant sooner was because I was terrified to lose my skills, because I worked so hard for them that, you know, like my biggest fear was not being able to do the things that I used to do. So when I decided to get pregnant, I was like, I have to keep up with my practice, like there's no other way. So I just continued with my training. I mean, obviously I didn't go to the extremes like I would usually do. I didn't do a chest stand or anything. But yeah, I continued doing it until I felt like it was too heavy and that, you know, I might actually fall. So near the end, when I got really big, I didn't do as much pole. I still did some floor work, which looked really funny with a big belly. I still wore my heels. I did plenty of stretching. I really didn't want to lose my splits or my back bend. I did do like camel pose. I didn't do too many back bends near the very end, but I still kept it all up because I wanted to get back to it all quite soon after. And I did manage to. So yeah, it was worth it.
And how do you find having to schedule your own practice as well as being a mother?
That's the tricky part. That's actually something that I'm kind of not struggling with, but it's something that's not, it's not coming easy for me, is to kind of balance it all. Because obviously, like before, I had a huge amount of freedom, like as you probably know, like when you dance in the night, you got the whole day free, so you can you can do whatever you want, or you can do as little as you want. And I used to spend all that time training, so for me to have this big obligation and to have created a life, like it's the biggest responsibility ever. I had to put him, well, I do put him first, so I kind of, you know, my training isn't my number one priority anymore, although it's still really important for myself personally, but also for the business. So I do try to train when I can, not as frequently as I would like, and especially with the business as well. Yeah, two babies, a business and a real baby. So yeah, I'm just kind of like, I'm slowly trying to work that one out. But yeah, I still train, but not for hours and hours and hours like I used to.
Yeah, I guess it's about finding the balance, and it's always a bit of a juggling act. It's never going to be completely easy.
No.
Just jumping back, because I think you mentioned this in your bio about how you and Hiram met. How yeah. did you meet each other?
Well, it's quite a funny story. So I went to Greece to speak to the girls from the Rad Polwear. You know Rad Polwear?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I used to be an ambassador for them. So I went there to have a meeting with them, and I stayed at one of their houses. And we decided on the last night to go to a strip club and just have a drink, you know? And what happened was they were desperate for me to go onto the stage. So I was like, okay, I'll go on for you. you've invited me here, so I'll do a show for you. So I had a few tequilas. I went up on stage and I did a dance in, like, I think I had normal clothes on, normal dress. I think I took my dress off in the end.
Amazing.
And then, yeah, and then I met Hiro. Hiro was a dancer in the club because it was a male and female strip club. So he was there as a dancer and we crossed paths. We started talking. He didn't speak English very well. And I didn't realize because I was a little bit tipsy. So I was talking in English and he was just nodding, pretending to agree. So we swapped phone numbers. And then, yeah, the rest is history. He moved to London to be with me very soon after that. So it was a whirlwind. It was very impulsive. But wow. I took a chance and it worked out.
That's amazing. I love that story.
Yeah, yeah. It's a funny story.
Yeah, that's so cool. I want to take us into the love, learn and dream section of the podcast. So my first question is, what do you love most about pole dancing?
I love that in pole dancing, you can be whoever you want to be. So you don't have to follow any specific rules. Like when you're doing a trick, you can twist it to make it look a little bit different. Like what you learn is unlimited. You can continue growing in it all the time and you can really become unique. You can achieve your own style really easily. I think, you know, there's plenty of options of tricks and styles of dance, of pole dancing. It's not assigned to one particular kind of thing.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to do pole, so many different yeah. styles. It's very diverse. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And what is your biggest lesson that you've learned on your journey through dancing?
I would say my biggest lesson is probably just to follow your heart, actually. I know that sounds a little bit cheesy, but I feel like if you follow your head instead of your heart, you're not going to take risks because your head is too logical. So if you follow your heart, you're going to lead your best life. You're going to take risks and do things because of the feeling, because you feel like you should. And I think like the more you listen to your heart, the easier it becomes as well. And I think that's like the best way to live is with passion.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. This last question is especially juicy. So in a world where you had unlimited budget, unlimited access to any venue or place and no health or safety restrictions, what would you do in a dream routine?
I've always wanted to do something with fire, actually.
Yes.
Like, I'd love to dance in a ring of fire.
That would be amazing.
I don't know if anyone's done that. I'm sure they have. But, like, most venues wouldn't allow that, would they?
I guess it'd have to be a certain venue that was, like, quite big so you could have that amount of fire.
Yeah.
Imagine you in, like, Backbend and, like, yeah, a big ring of fire around you. That would be epic.
Yeah. I need to manifest it.
Yes, you can totally manifest it.
Yeah, and it's got to be like really big flames, you know, really dramatic.
Maybe you can have like fire breathers on either side of you that like breathe fire, and then you're like spinning on the pole in some kind of like split, jade split or something. That would look yeah. epic.
Yeah, I'm going to start thinking about that. And then yep. when the world opens up, maybe it can be a possibility somewhere.
Yes.
Who knows?
Please do it. Thank you so much for today. Like, I loved talking to you and like getting to know you a little bit better, and you've got some amazing stories. Where can we find you online?
So my Instagram is Felicity Bambi Doll, and then my business page is Align with Felicity, my business Instagram. And then my Align training platform is www.alignwithfelicity.com. So you can find me there.
Perfect. I'm just going to hop on over to the bonus section for Patreon. But to the rest of our listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun.
Thanks so much to our listeners for joining us today at the Pussy Parlor. If you're left wanting more, we have extra pussy episodes on Patreon and the opportunity to ask our guests questions. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at the Pussy Parlor. That's pussy with an X, because Instagram won't let us have the word pussy for some reason. Censored. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a glowing review and rate us all of the stars. I'll be back next week with a brand new guest. Stay filthy, stay fabulous. Bye. See you next time.